Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. Just seated. One of my favorite writers throughout my entire Christian experience from when I first was saved is A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer went home to be with the Lord in 1963, but I found a ministry that had over 400 cassette tapes of A.W. Tozer preaching at his church in Chicago, where he preached for 31 years, Christian and Missionary Alliance Church. And he titled a sermon about the Spirit of the Lord, about the presence of God. It was simply titled this, God is Omniscient. Or rather, God is omnipresent was what it was. God is omnipresent, but his manifest presence is something else. And what Tozer was simply saying was there's a difference between the fact that God is everywhere and where God reveals himself. But I like that title, and I thought, you know what? God is omnipresent, but his manifest presence is something else, isn't it? It really is something else when you could soak up the presence of the Lord and just bask in the golden sunshine of his love. Amen? Aren't you glad for those times? Don't you appreciate God for those times? I like that when we come together and there's just a bit of a stillness in worship and praise. And I don't get in a big hurry when I sense the presence of the Lord. I could just bask in it all day. You know, there are churches today around the world that'll have 5 and 6 hour services. They'll go all day. They'll just go all day. How many could stay here as long as God's manifest in his presence? I could blow right through lunch. And that's really something for me to do. But if God's moving and God's stirring and God's showing up in a big way, I tell you what, you just lose sight of everything else. Just get caught up in his presence. Amen. I love the Lord, don't you? I love the Lord. Praise God. Today I want to be sharing with you on the subject of kindness. And I want you to kind of get this word, kindness, emblazoned upon your consciousness. I want you to really pray about that word, kindness. The power of kindness. And what kindness can accomplish when other things fail. And we're going to be sharing on this week, next week. We're going to be focusing on it for the next several weeks in different ways. But let me give you a few scriptures to begin. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up." How many understand that love is kind? Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Colossians 3:12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, he said, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." And finally, the Bible says in Proverbs 19 and 22, "What is desired in a man is kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar." But let me read that first portion again. What is desired in a man is kindness, kindness, kindness. I want to talk to you today about killing them with kindness. How many believes you can diffuse many an argument with an act of kindness? Kindness is a powerful way of exerting an influence in a relationship. A sure fire way to make friends and to influence people is to simply be kind. To be kind-natured, to be kind-hearted. I believe it's God's way to tear down walls. It's God's way of building bridges in relationships with others. is simply to be kind. How many understand that kindness can be the sweetener in the tea of marriage? How many believe the Christian home should be filled with kindness and tenderness? Parents, you will never teach yourself a greater value, teach your children rather, a greater value than the important lesson that we must be kind. We have to be kind if we're going to have an influence in this world. There's a little piece went like this. I have wept in the night for the shortness of sight, that to somebody's need I was blind. But I never have yet felt a twinge of regret for being a little too kind. You will never look back over your shoulder and regret having been kind. Amen? Because it has dividends. It will always bring great rewards just to simply be a kind-natured person. And I believe that kindness is becoming a rare commodity in the world we're living in. We're living in a world rather of rudeness, aren't we? Doesn't it seem as if rudeness prevails? People are such short-fused individuals and quick-tempered individuals that kindness is becoming as rare as a conservative viewpoint from the mainstream media. Amen? We've become a society in which the milk of human kindness is curdled. People are just hateful and mean-spirited. And we need to change that, don't we? We need to change that in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Spread a little love around. There was a new U.S. News and World Report poll that was taken some time back, and it found out that 89% of Americans think that rudeness, incivility, and a lack of kindness has become a serious problem. How many would chime in along with that? More than 3 in 4 in this poll says that it has gotten worse in the last 10 years. Just plain rude. People can be ignorant, can't they? People can be so selfish and so self-centered that they have incapacitated themselves to be kind. But the old saying is, kill them with kindness. How many understand you can really do that with people? You can really kill them with kindness. What you can kill is you can kill animosity with kindness. Friends, you can kill bitterness with kindness. You can kill anger. You can kill hard feelings with just a little bit of kindness. Amen? The truth is, you can kill resistance with a little bit of kindness. When you share your faith with Jesus Christ, your faith in the true and living God, you can dismantle the resistance that most people have with a little bit of kindness. James Merritt gave a definition of kindness. He just simply said that kindness is treating others the way God treats you. And that's breaking it down to a simple equation, isn't it? How has God treated you? Has God been good to you? Has God been kind to you? Has God been gracious to you and merciful to you? Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Forgive others just like God has forgiven you. God has been kind toward us. Behold the kindness and the severity of God. Aren't you glad that we have a kind, loving, heavenly Father that wraps His gentle arms around us and just loves on us? Amen? The kindness of God. The kindness of God has impacted your life. It's impacted my life. And we need to be like God, don't we? We need to follow in our Father's footsteps. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, was a walking example of how to be kind. Jesus manifests kindness. You read through the entire set of the four Gospels and you see Jesus constantly healing people and constantly ministering to people or preaching or teaching. Jesus was very active, very engaged, very busy, and often crowds of people thronged the Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll never see an instance in the Word of God where Jesus shunned the individual. Jesus always had time for the individual. He would stop for the individual in the crowd that was reaching out. He can sense it. He sensed that woman with the issue reach out when there were people pressing on every side. And when she touched him, he said, I perceive somebody touched him. The disciples were looking. Folks are touching you from every direction, Lord. But Jesus had time for the individual. Isn't that right? As busy as he was redeeming the human race. How many know that's busy work? You might be busy on your job. You may be busy around the house. You may be busy in church activities. But how many of you know we never get too busy when we can't show an act of kindness and an act of love? The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. Jesus just went about doing good. How many want to be like Jesus? How many want to be in his spitting image? How many want to be a reflection of him to this world? We have to go about doing kindness. What's even more remarkable is the fact that Jesus came into a very unkind world. The world of his day and the world of his age was very, very cruel and very, very ruthless. He was kind to people who loved him, but he was kind to people who hated him. Jesus was kind to everybody. You know, the Bible tells us we're to love our enemies. And there may be times that we find that command a little bit difficult when our enemies are acting ugly. But nonetheless, it's a command. Isn't that right? Jesus said something about loving our families in Luke 6:35. I want you to listen to this. It says, "But love your enemies and do good, lending, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." God was kind to you when you were a schmuck. Hope that's not too rough a slang. God was kind to you when you weren't fit to be tied. God was kind to you when you were obstinate and obnoxious and defiant and rebellion. God was still kind to you. Or you wouldn't be sitting here in your skin today. You'd have been fried like a pork chop a long time ago. God's been kind, isn't that right? Oh, how many thank God that he is kind. He is kind. He's even kind to those that aren't thankful for his kindness, that are ungrateful for his kindness. And we need to be the same. We don't need to just be kind to people who are kind to us. We need to be kind to people that are rude to us. Amen? Because kindness is the cure for rudeness. And I want to be an agent of change in this world, don't you? I don't just want to jump on the rudeness bandwagon with everybody else every time somebody rattles my cage or jostles me a little bit. Amen? We need to be kind. Kindness. The Bible has a great deal to say on the subject of kindness. God has been kind to people who don't even think about his kindness. I read about a woman one time. She was a little old, little widowed woman. She lived way out in the country. A very gentle lady, a very godly lady. She had a neighbor that was an unbeliever, just despised her. He hated the entire idea of God. And he hated the church. He particularly hated this woman because of her godliness. And he was always being rude to her. Always he was being mean to her. This woman raised chickens. And she sold the eggs from her chickens as a source of income. But he hated those chickens. Those chickens would get over in his yard and he'd just have fits. Well, one day he was out in his yard and some of the chickens had gotten loose. And he, being the rude man he was, just grabbed one and wrung its neck. Walked right over to the tall fence, didn't even realize she was standing in the yard there, and threw the chicken over the fence, and it landed right at her feet. Went back in the house. It wasn't too long, just a short while later, the woman knocks at his door, and he answers the door, and she's got a plate of fried chicken. She says, "Sir, I made this for your dinner tonight. I hope you enjoy it." And she left. That man came to Jesus Christ. Largely through an act of kindness. That man bought into the concept of God through an act of kindness. Amen? We need to be filled to overflowing, chock full of the kindness of God. Because God is kind and we are his offspring. We ought to be manifesting that. It says again, you will be the sons of the Most High. God is good. We're to love our enemies, do good, because you are the sons of the Most High, for he himself has been good to people who are ungrateful for his goodness. Thank God for the power of kindness. Amen? As difficult as it is, as hard as it is sometimes, we need to be kind when people are rude to us, understanding that that's how our Heavenly Father operates. We are never more like God than when we're kind. Even to people who do not deserve it. Amen? I could fold up my notes and we can go home if that just kept ringing in your ear. But let's build on it just a little bit. We're never, ever to let loyalty and kindness get away from us. Isn't that right? I'm reading from the Bible. It's Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4. Never let loyalty and kindness get away from you. Wear them like a necklace. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will gain a good reputation. It interests me to have favor with God, friends. How many wants to have a little pool with God? How many wants to be able to go to the throne and get things accomplished? You will have favor with God and with people, and you will have a good reputation. Again, Proverbs 19:22. This is the New American Standard. What is desirable in a man is his kindness. His kindness. So three things we're going to look at, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to let the Lord do a work in our hearts. We first of all have to show. Everybody say show. We've got to show kindness in what we do to others. I believe that one of the things that endeared Ronald Reagan to the world and to the American people was the fact that he was a very, very kind man. People had a sense that Ronald Reagan was a kind individual. And I want to admit from the pulpit that Ronald Reagan is one of my heroes. But before he was the president of the United States, he was the governor of California, as you know, and he was running in 1976 for the presidency. And he was getting ready for a rally in North Carolina in a parking lot, and a lady came over to one of his aides and said, "I've got a group of blind kids here, and since they can't see him, I was wondering if you can have Governor Reagan come over and tell them hello." Now, the aide passed the request along to Michael Deaver, who was Ronald's chief of staff, and he was standing nearby and went over to Reagan and gave the request to the governor, and Reagan said to Deaver that he would do it, but he didn't want any photographers. Now, how many know that most politicians would salivate over that kind of publicity, to meet with a group of blind kids and to talk with a group of blind kids? But he didn't want any photos taken of them because he wanted the children to understand that this was something between him and them. So he waited around, Reagan did, until all of the press corps just sort of evaporated. And he walked on over where the children were, and there were seven kids. They were around 9 years of age. All of them were blind. And Reagan just didn't walk over and speak to these kids and then leave. He went over and sat down on the pavement of the parking lot, and they began to talk to them. And after the kids asked a couple of questions, this is what Ronald Reagan said. "Now, I have a question for all of you. Would you like to touch my face so that you could get a better understanding of how I look?" And the kids were all excited, and they were squealing, and they said they would. And so Reagan just sat there while one by one, these little children, around 9 years of age, just came over and were feeling all over his face. They began to move their fingers all over his face to see what he looked like. 25 years later, this is what the aide said. "The only picture of that scene is the picture in my mind. But I can still see those little kids touching Ronald Reagan's face, smiling those really big smiles, and thinking, what a kind man he is." Kindness has the potential of making it an indelible impression on somebody, an unforgettable impression upon others. If you want to live a happy life, I give you a word of advice. Show a little kindness. Amen? Show a little kindness. Every opportunity that comes your way, show kindness. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said this: "You cannot do a kindness too soon, and you never know how soon it will be too late. Seize every opportunity." We're going to be digging into this as a church. This is going to be the focus of our small groups for the 5-week session coming up. How to, in our daily, everyday life as individuals, get it down into our DNA that it's what makes us up as a being. It's part and fiber of our very being that we're people of kindness. Till it becomes natural. We cultivate it until it just flows out of our lives. William Penn, who Pennsylvania is named after, said this: "I expect to pass through this world but once. If therefore there be any kindness that I can show, or any good thing I can do for any fellow being, let me do it now and not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." You see, you have that as a model for life, and they name states after you. You want to live a life that makes an indelible impression. You want to live a life that marks people for life. You want to live a life where they remember you long after you've gone to the grave. Be a kind individual. Amen. Because there's power in kindness, tremendous power. We show kindness in what we do for others. We share kindness in what we say to others. Every one of you in this room, look at your neighbor and say, that means you. Now look at your other neighbor saying, that means you too. Every one of you in this room has a kindness kit. How many of you know that? You got a kindness kit. You carry it with you everywhere you go. It's in your mouth. It's called the tongue. How many know it? You can make it into a kindness kit if you please. You could turn it into a kindness kit. An old Japanese proverb says this: one kind word can warm three winter months. The power of a kind word. Somebody said it this way: a little word in kindness spoken, emotion or a tear, has often healed a heart that's broken and made a friend sincere. A kind word spoken can be so powerful. Now, how many times have we been guilty of passing up on opportunities to speak a kind word to somebody? Even a kind word to somebody who's perhaps been unkind to us. Rather than doing so, we have to look back now and just regret. We regret losing that opportunity. Kindness is something that we share verbally with people. Being kind to others. Some people think that kindness is just a sentimental softness of heart or something that's just tolerant of all wrong or and never condemns anything. And that's not what we're suggesting. I want you to not misunderstand what I'm saying. Suppose a doctor were to examine me and then discovers that I have a tumor. But the doctor says, well, you know, I don't want to upset him. I don't want to cause this man any pain. I don't want him to leave here hurt or discouraged. So he comes back to his office and he tells me everything is fine with you. You're absolutely great. Don't worry. Be happy. Now I ask you, would that be kindness on the part of the doctor? No, it wouldn't be. No sane, rational person would consider that kindness. A doctor who is kind will tell you the truth. Isn't that right? And if we're a kind people, we'll speak the truth. But we speak the truth in love. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. Isn't that right? Speak the truth. It must be spoken, but it's to be spoken in love, spoken in tenderness, spoken in kindness. There's power in words that are spoken. When a minister gets up and preaches about sin, whether it be sexual sins or financial sins or our marital sins or emotional sins or mental sins, we've got to always remember that that pastor is being kind in pointing out those dangers that can potentially destroy our lives and that for eternity. You know, Jesus was firm at times, wasn't he? Jesus was pretty straightforward at times. Jesus can be blunt. But I have news for you. There was never an uncharitable word that ever fell from the lips of Jesus. Not one time. Even when he rebuked. Every act, every thought, every word, every deed of Jesus was always motivated by love. Even when he drove them from the temples because they were merchandising the good news of God. And so we understand that we have to show. Everybody say a show. You've got to show your kindness. And we've got to do that by what we do to others. And then share. We've got to share our kindness and what we say to others. You've got your kit. You're going to leave here with your kit. Amen? Now, don't go out of this church and bite your kit when it comes to kindness. Amen? You know the old phrase, bite your tongue? No, let your tongue loose. Don't let your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth. Amen? But look for an opportunity to speak something kind into somebody's life. All right, there's a third thing. We've got to learn the importance of sowing kindness. We sow kindness in how we relate to other people. Our mission statement of this church is building relationships through loving God and loving others. We want this to be a church that is about relationships. Amen? The truth is, everybody who walks into this building are looking for relationships. 87 out of 100 people that are going to church are going there because they're looking for relationships. And 87 out of 100 people who attend a church after they visited 6 months earlier are doing so because they built 3 or 4 or 5 relationships in that congregation. It's true for you, isn't it? We come for that reason, to build relationships and Christ-centered relationships. And we do it by sowing kindness into people's lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4 again, love is kind. Sometimes love is heard in a kind word, a simple kind word. Sometimes love can be read in a simple note of kindness, just jotting down a little note. Sometimes love can be felt by a simple touch, just to be touched. I want to encourage everybody in this room, every one of you who are believers, to do everything that you can to show kindness to unbelievers. Show kindness to those that are outside of the fold. Show kindness to those who have not received Christ into their heart yet as Lord and Savior. To show kindness to those who are unbelievers. Because in reality, kindness is reaching out with God's love to people so they can experience the love of God through you and I. How many understand as believers we're His hands? As believers, we're His... As believers... We're His mouth. We are the body of Christ. Isn't that right? And He reveals His love, His kindness, His goodness, His graciousness through His people. I want you to think about Matthew 8:3. I'm not going to have you turn there. But in Matthew 8:3, it has an amazing statement in it. One of the most amazing in all the Bible. If you just read it on your own without really paying a lot of attention to it, it could just kind of slip through the cracks. But there's a man here with leprosy. And he comes to Jesus and says this to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, we know the most horrific disease in the entire Bible was the disease of leprosy. Leprosy was dreaded. Leprosy was feared. Leprosy, in fact, is a picture of sin, typically. Symbolically in the Bible. It was a physical malady. It had an effect upon your body. In fact, I preach a message. I have, as an evangelist, preached the message titled Leprosy, and I believe there were 6 parallels with the disease of leprosy and sin and its effect upon our lives. Leprosy. So this man is stricken with leprosy. Leprosy was the AIDS of the biblical world. Now in verse 3, we read this amazing statement. Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And you say, what was so amazing about that statement? I mean, Jesus healed a lot of people, and that's true. But it's not the healing that is so amazing here. What is amazing is the fact that Jesus touched him. It is the very first time in all of the Bible that we are told that anybody ever touched a person with leprosy. A person with leprosy was shunned. A person with leprosy was ostracized. A person with leprosy could not come in contact with others. A person with leprosy suffered from acute loneliness. They were segregated and they were separated from everyone else. By law, when they came into a crowd of people, they had to cry out, unclean. And when they cried unclean, people scattered in every direction. They never had to worry about waiting in line. They just come at the back of the line and say, unclean. And they're right up front. People feared them. It was contagious, highly contagious. People were put into leprous camps to die slow, agonizing death. But really, there isn't a great deal of physical pain that's associated with this problem. Its full term is leprosy bacillaria. That's what it's called, and it deadens the nerve cells. When a person has leprosy, they can no longer feel pain. Patients that have leprosy can damage their own bodies without even realizing they're doing so. A leprosy patient can walk all day on sharp metal screws if they have leprosy in their feet because they can't feel it. A person with leprosy can take a nail and drive it through their hands without feeling it. It deadens all of the nerve cells. The pain the leper felt in the Bible days was especially not physical, It was personal. It was social. They were outcasts. They were rejects. They were unacceptable by society standards. Dr. Brand, who was a Christian author and a missionary as well, knew a great deal about leprosy. He was an expert in the field of leprosy. I told of a bright young man that he was treating in India. And in the course of the examination, Dr. Brand simply laid his hand on the young man's shoulder and told him through a translator of the treatment that he was going to receive in order to cure his leprosy. But to his amazement, this man began to shake uncontrollably, weeping. Dr. Brand asked the translator, "Have I said something wrong?" The translator asked the young man why he was crying, and then the translator turned to Dr. Brand and said, "Dr. Brand, the reason he's crying is because you put your hand on his shoulder. And all these years that he's had leprosy, you are the first person who has ever reached out and touched him." And I want to tell you a truth today, friends. There are people all around us. There are people all around this church. There are people all around this neighborhood. There is a world out there of people that are covered with the leprosy of sin. God wants you and I to reach out to them. Amen? To reach out to them with his love. To reach out to them with his kindness. To reach out with that spirit of kindness and touch those people and love those people and bring those people to Jesus Christ. Now, does anybody in this building believe what I just said? That is the will of God. That is his purpose for the church. That is why we're here. Amen? We have to reach out. And the way to reach out, my friends, is to reach out with kindness. I was reading a message that really sparked this in my mind this past week by C.M. Ward, one of the old Revival Time radio broadcasts. And I wanted to quote just a little piece from it. It was simply titled, "Kindness." "Kindness is the very principle of love. It is impossible to resist continued kindness. Have we not too often omitted in our picture of aggressive evangelism and soul winning the force and conquest of kindness? Life consists of little things, smiles, gestures, tones, remembrances, touches. A housewife who was won to Christ said afterwards, after a service, it was not the sermon, but I could not forget how a woman, a perfect stranger to me, sitting next to me in the service, offered to take my restless baby to the nursery and care for the child so I might attend the rest of the service." That was what she said. Kindness had opened her heart. The Word went on to say, what kind of God are we exhibiting? The sinner is looking for a redeemer who shares a songbook, who moves over and makes room in the pew, who shakes hands and gets acquainted, who notices children, who wants them to come back. Is that what we exhibit here? I believe in a large way we do. But I believe we could do it more, don't you? I believe we could do it better. I believe we could do it more convincingly, isn't that right? I'm going to share you a little principle. We have any first-time guests here today? Anybody that's here for the very first time? I didn't spot anybody that's first time today. I want to share with you, since you're only a guest one time, so now the rest of you are just home folk. But I want to share a little principle with you. I want to see if I could get this in your mind. I want us to begin doing the three-minute rule in this church. Anybody want to know what the three-minute rule is? I got one, two, three. The rest of you are dismissed. The three-minute rule is this. From now on, whenever we finish a service on Sunday, you don't talk to anybody that you know for 3 minutes. You look for somebody that you don't know. They may be here for the first time. They may be here two or three times, but you've never spoken to them. You've never asked what their name was. It's called the three-minute rule. How many believe we could do that? How many believe that would make an impact on somebody? How many believe that would make you feel important? I went to a church while I was gone 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to say the name of the church. There were probably 400 people in the building. Marcia and I could have walked in and walked out and been completely invisible, and it would have had the exact same effect. I'm not saying that to be mean. Sometimes when you're a real big church, you don't know who's there for the first time or who's not. It's a little bit difficult, and you don't want to embarrass yourself by saying, is this your first time? And they tell you, I've been coming here for 6 months. So I understand that. But I mean, we don't have that problem here. Amen? The average person can remember about the names of about 60 people in the congregation. So we're not expecting you to be Jerry Falwell. I love Brother Falwell. He never forgot your name. He knew thousands of people by first name. Thousands of people. But I'm not asking you to be Jerry Falwell. That was a gift. How many know that? But I'm asking for us to roll out the red carpet when somebody walks through this building. Understand that person is here because they're looking for potential relationships. Amen? Because we want to grow in relationships with fellow believers, or maybe somebody that's just searching in their heart as to the reality of this Christian message. And for anybody to ever slip into church and slip out and feel unwelcomed and feel unwanted and feel as if that congregation, however many people are there, are uninterested in them, friends, that's a scandal that reeks to the high heaven. Would you agree with that? What's it called? The 3-minute rule. What, somebody recite it to me. What do you do for the first 3 minutes? What do you not do? You don't? That means husbands and wives, it's okay for you to turn your back on one another. As soon as we say amen, the benediction's been prayed and the amen has been pronounced, then you just look around for somebody that you don't know their name and go up to them and say, my name is, what's your name? How many likes that? Put the timer on. We want to do, instead of a five-minute countdown, we got a 3-minute countdown. Jesse, can we find a 3-minute countdown? But friends, listen. We want to live up to the name that we put on the wall out here, don't we? We want this to be a place where people, when they walk through the door, they feel the love of Jesus Christ. What is it, Marcia? How many minutes before a person makes up their mind if they're ever coming back? Within the first 7 minutes of a service. On average, people have made up their mind if they're coming back or not. That's before the songs are even sung, usually. Certainly before the message is ever preached. They've already made up their mind if they're coming back or not. And I'm going to tell you why. Whether or not they felt welcomed. It's just that simple. Amen? Now, can I throw something in? When you go to them and ask them their name, how many of you know people like to be called by their names? We love it when someone calls us by our name. Amen? That's true of every one of us. But you'll never know somebody's name unless you ask it. Now, that's all you got to do. Just simple interest, wanting to know what their name is. You don't have to get all personal. You don't have to walk up to them and say, well, you know, hey, how's your liver functioning? You don't want them running out the door. Ah! Just be friendly, amen? I want to tell you one other thing. There's not a church in the United States of America that doesn't think it's friendly. You ask, you poll the congregants of every congregation in the United States, and they'll all tell you, oh, yeah, we're a friendly group. Yeah, they're friendly to each other. But we want to extend ourselves, amen, through kindness. Now, we're just talking about people that walk through the door. But we're going to look for ways to reach outside the doors, amen? Go ahead and throw that last slide up for us, Jesse. I want to encourage you. We're going to be focusing on this. It's not new to some of you, but we renew it in our minds. There we go. Small things done with great love will change the world. Can we say that together? Small things done with great love will change the world. I want that to be our motto. We're going to go out. We're going to be doing some servant evangelism. We're going to be going out in the neighborhood. And just looking for creative ways to show kindness to individuals. Have a lot of fun doing it. And, I mean, we're going to do like we've done in the past. We're going to go ahead and have T-shirts made. And we're going to have this put on the back of the T-shirt. We'll put Love and Truth Assembly on the front of the T-shirt. You can get a copy of a T-shirt if you want to. We'll be getting an order ready for those. The last time we did this, we put on the T-shirts on the back of them. The church has left the building. And people loved it. Our people commented on it all over the place when we witnessed and shared. But we want to trust the Lord as we reach out. We have to reach out with the love of Jesus. Used to be a little song that we used to sing. We first learned it at a camp, and it was a youth and children's camp that we preached a whole lot of years ago, way, way back in the 80s in Idaho. And it was called Gotta Give It Away. Gotta give it away. You gotta give it away. Oh, you can't hide God's love inside. You gotta give it. Help me, Marcia. That's right, Father. We just want you to avail yourself in us and just overflow from our lives to others. Because, Lord, we're not interested just in going out and showing the milk of human kindness. We want divine love. Divine love. The very fact that you are resident within our heart, that you live within us, that your housing, your dwelling place is your people. We want you to live out that love through us in 1,001 different ways. We want to do it on different levels as we're going to be looking into. We want it, first of all, to flow from you into us, and then to flow out of us into those the closest, to our family. We want to learn how to be more kind in our family environments, to show your love and acts of kindness to our family, but then to move beyond our family and to our larger family, to our church, our congregation, and then to move from our congregation out into other community that we're in, and then ultimately the world. We want to do it on different levels, Lord. We want to learn how to do it, first of all, together as a church, as an outreach, to do it through small groups taking up little projects, and then finally till it becomes a part of the DNA of us as individuals, where it's just the natural outflow of our everyday living, where we just have a built-in radar looking for opportunities to show your kindness, knowing that it'll create opportunities to talk to people about your love. And that's what we want. We want to get conversations going. We want to get some conversations going with folks about your love. They'll inevitably ask, why? Why are you doing this? Why'd you do this? Oh, I'm glad you asked. I just wanted to show you God's love. You know, his greatest show of love? Everybody look up at me. The greatest display of God's love, of course, was Calvary. But how many of you know you can transition from giving a bottle of water away to Calvary in just a heartbeat? Amen? Because you could tell somebody, look, this bottle of ice-cold water, this Dasani. Everybody lick their lips. This Dasani is free. Just like God's love is free. Oh, and you're ready to take them to Calvary. Because that's where God's greatest show of love was displayed. Now, how many want to get the gospel outside this building? How many wants this to be a mission post? Where we come and we get trained and prepared to go out there where the action's at. Amen. How many know it's really not too difficult to jump on this soapbox right here and talk about Jesus with a whole bunch of people around me that's favorable of it? I mean, there's really no risk involved in that. I've never one time had a tomato thrown at me here. Never been egged. Never been shouted down or booed down. In fact, you guys rally behind it. I want to get out there where the real action's at. Amen? Sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And the act of kindness will diffuse people's resistance quicker than anything. Let's explore this deeper. Amen? Let's explore how far we can go with this. How many like to earn a reputation? That's a pretty kind bunch of folks up there. They're kind. It was a story of an old farmer. His car got loose and got on the railroad track and got ran over. And so he was filling out some sort of insurance form. And it asked, what was the cow's disposition? He looked at it kind of puzzled, didn't know what it meant. He said, kind and gentle. But we want to really be truly kind and a gentle people, amen? And we want to speak the life-transforming truth of the gospel into people's lives. Amen. We're going to sing that chorus. We're finished. We're dismissed. You can fellowship, greet a few folks.